You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. The countdown to the NBA trade deadline closing time continues. We're about an hour away right now. We'll keep our eye on things. If there's any blockbusters, Noel was traded for the Philadelphia 76ers to the Dallas Mavericks. But really, Justin Anderson and Andrew Bogut, they both might be traded. They both might stay. Who knows? We'll keep our eye on it. Either way, one thing we do know is that the NBA has been high scoring. Over the last 3 years, the first games back after the All-Star break have gone over at a 60% clip. So we're going to be keeping our eye on this this evening. We're talking NBA basketball. Paul Bovey returns to the rotation with the return of the association. Of course, we've got a DraftKings lineup for you, NBA style this evening. Teddy Cover steps up in it. We're running the gauntlet with Teddy. We're going to talk about everything with Teddy. We'll talk Major League Baseball preseason set to begin tomorrow. We'll talk college basketball, maybe a little NBA with Teddy as well. And we're talking NFL football with Bill Enright, footballnation.com's Bill Enright. As the calm before the storm is about to turn into a freaking tornado in a National Football League. Ton of stuff to break down as far as the NFL is concerned. Although there's a lot of... there's a lot of quarterbacks, there's a lot of big-name players, there's going to be a lot of musical chairs. The draft is up in the air as far as the quarterbacks are concerned. It is complicated right now, and it's not sexy, but I spent like 25 minutes this morning actually reading about caps and, you know, this hit and that hit. Man, it's not easy, but we'll get to that in a second as far as Tony Romo is concerned. So we got a great show lined up for you. Been shaking things up all week. It's that time of the year right now, but it feels like baseball weather, doesn't it? You know, baseball is around the corner. March Madness is around the corner. The Masters are around the corner, and I'm not a huge, huge golf guy like some of the other guys here at the network, but I'm a fan of betting on the Masters, and I just like the Masters because I like that time of the year. And I know when it's the Masters, it means it's playoff time. It means that football and college football aren't that all far off into the distant, near distant future. So speaking of which, over the last couple of days, we've focused a lot in on the National Basketball Association's trade deadline. There's been a million freaking rumors, but not all that much has actually come to pass. We've had a couple of blockbusters, Ibaka, Boogie Cousins, big names, but we'll see if anything happens before the deadline as we speak right now. But truth be told, the National Football League offseason's about to come to an end. And we've told you guys that, you know, the NFL is a 365-day year operation. And Bill Belichick asked after the Super Bowl, said, yeah, good news, you won the Super Bowl. Bad news, we're 5 weeks behind everybody else with our draft preparation. All right, there's no rest for the wicked. But with that being stated, you know, everybody takes a couple of weeks off after the grind, but they're ready to put the pedal to the metal, and National Football League general managers and owners aren't taking any time off right now. There's decisions to be made, and I can't recall, like, ever, really. It's not like I was thinking, oh, in recent memory. No, like, ever. Has there ever been a National Football League offseason like this, when there are as many quarterbacks that are going to be changing teams, when the draft is up in the air as it is? Last year, we were freaking locked in, man. We knew. It was Wentz, Goff, Wentz. You know, there was no debate. We've seen this with Winston and Mariota. There was no debates. Nobody knows what's going to happen with the draft coming up right now. Nobody knows. Mel Kiper doesn't know. O'Shea doesn't know. None of these guys know. And for the record, actually, don't believe anything that you read, because the National Football League insiders and experts are more wrong, and wrong or more often than any of these other leagues and media types are. You know, they never get it right. You think NFL general managers are telling NFL beat writers, oh yeah, we like this guy for the draft. You know, everything's a freaking lie. If they tell you they like the guy, they hate the guy. If they tell you the guy's a bad guy, the guy's probably, serving soup in a soup kitchen every day, and he's a great guy. That's what they do. It's all propaganda at this time of the year. There's a lot of propaganda out there as far as Tony Romo is concerned. Now, listen, you can bet on this, and I'm going to bet on this. Tony Romo is going to be a Denver Bronco, right? It just makes too much sense. How is he not a Denver Bronco? Page like plus 225, plus 230 or so that he's a Denver Bronco. But something that nobody's talking about with Tony Romo that I find interesting is the fact that the Dallas Cowboys, if they hang on to Tony Romo until June 1st, they can set, you know, they can spread out the cap hit for Romo, the 18 mil, over 2 years. If they let him go before June 1st, they take the one big hit right now. And if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, yeah, I want to hook you up, Tony, but we're going to hook you up, but you're going to have to wait till June, which means other National Football League general managers are going to have to wait till June with the hope of maybe getting Tony Romo. It's going to be very interesting. Tyrod Taylor, hey, a lot of Buffalo Bill fans think Tyrod Taylor sucks, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of NFL general managers and coaches that don't. Tyrod Taylor will be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns after the Buffalo Bills let him go on March 12th if they do. So that's where we are right now. The Dallas Cowboys could let Romo go on March the 9th. The Buffalo Bills are on the clock March the 12th. Decisions are going to have to be made, and it's going to be a freaking domino effect once you know the first quarterback signs, moves, or goes somewhere else. The Washington Redskins are on the clock right now. We haven't even gotten into the freaking draft yet. There's no consensus who's better, Kaiser, Trubisky, or Deshaun Watson. Some people think Deshaun Watson is the next superstar quarterback in the National Football League. Other people think he's going to be a bust, all right? You know, Deshaun Kaiser, oh, he's the greatest thing ever. Best athlete in years. It's coming into the National Football League, the quarterback position. Others don't want to touch him at all. Trubisky's a kid. He could be good. Who freaking knows? So say what you will about the National Football League's offseason, but it's a lot like the regular season. Unfreaking predictable. Game time decisions continues. Game time decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, we got a solid show lined up for you today. The National Basketball Association trade deadline, less than an hour away. I'm counting on the crew in the booth to keep me up to date because I got two goofballs operating the cameras in here. Like, it could be like the end of the world, like right now. Like, the end of the world could be happening outside. Like, you know, like there could be bombs and like we're getting invaded. And these two dudes, they had no idea. I realize this. I'm in like a darkened studio with two bozos. So, you know, maybe you guys can keep us up to date as well. All right.
Tony Romo.
Tony Romo. What about Tony Romo, camera one? Yeah, all right. Settle down, camera one. See? I asked for NBA trades. He shouts out Tony Romo's name. All right, so we got Ted Savransky, we got Paul Povey, NBA's back, we got college basketball, Gonzaga playing tonight. We'll talk, can Gonzaga really win this thing? And Bill Enright's going to join us. We'll talk some NFL football. Let's bring in Ted Savransky right now. You can find him over at sportsmemo.com. He's one of the cover's experts, does a daily video. You can find it at Sportsbook Review, SBR, on their YouTube page. What's going on, Teddy?
Arr, NC, you excited about the NBA trade deadline?
I actually was, but I got to be honest with you. Yes, I've been sitting in front of a computer for the last 24 hours, and I'm tired of seeing in talks. Seems like a lot of in talks and nothing happening, Teddy.
Yeah, that's not atypical for trade deadline day. But, I mean, Boogie got traded, and we saw Nerlens Noel go today. So, I mean, there's been a couple of big deals.
Yeah, and
so
Serge Ibaka, too, some big names. Yeah. All right. So speaking of which, we'll open up with that as long as you brought up Boogie Cousins. Interesting that both Sacramento and New Orleans are both in action this evening. The Pelicans are getting 4 points. And, you know, Teddy, basketball is a tough sport to just drop a player on the court, especially, you know, they have no depth right now. They lose Buddy Hield. They lose Tyreek Evans. So, yeah, you've got Davis and you've got Cousins. You know, you've got some other guys there, but nobody really knows how this is going to play out. It's interesting. The Rockets laying 4 tonight.
Well, I mean, we know how it's going to play out initially. It's going to be awkward. You know, I mean, New Orleans has they traded away 3 shooting guards. Don't forget Galloway. They traded him away, too. So, you know, Hield, Evans, and Galloway, all of whom play the same position, essentially, and all of whom you desperately need against a team like Houston. Because the one thing the Rockets are going to do, they're going to test you on the perimeter. And when you trade away three guys who can defend the perimeter, and don't replace them necessarily with anybody, there will be issues. And you see the quotes coming out of New Orleans, that all the quotes are, hey, we're going to be really good, we're going to be really good, we're going to be really good, but it's going to take some time. DeMarcus Cousins. Will it happen overnight? Probably not. Alvin Gentry. Let's keep our hopes, let's keep our expectations reasonable. It's not going to happen overnight for New Orleans. And boy, you read some of the quotes out of Houston coming out of the break. This team's hungry. This team's focused. And I remember what happened going into the break. They got beaten by Miami. They've only played, this will be their second game in 12 days. They're as rested as any team in the league right now. And I want no part of the Pelicans initially following the deal, maybe in a week or two. But not tonight. It'd be Houston or pass for me.
Yeah, and the Rockets add Lou Williams to the fold as well because, you know, they really needed somebody that could shoot the three. They didn't have that before Teddy.
Well, that just meant, I mean, when you think about Lou Williams, and again, one of these guys that doesn't get a lot of buzz, well, that's a great role player for Houston.
Lou
Williams is the number one scorer off the bench in the NBA.
Exactly. There's no drop-off now. He comes in off the bench. He gives you 24 minutes. He's going to light it up. The guy's going to score 20 points in 24 minutes for you.
Well, now, okay, you can play lineups with Williams and Gordon on the floor together. You can put James Harden, who's amongst the NBA leaders in minutes each of the last three seasons. You can get him a little bit of rest and keep him fresh for the postseason. That might matter most of all in terms of making that deal. But Houston got better at the trading deadline, and I don't know if the markets have really recognized that yet.
All right, Sacramento Kings tonight. Another interesting situation here because the Kings have been a go-to team for me over the last couple of weeks, Teddy. I watch all the King late-night games at... They were on a roll. They were 4-1 straight up, their last five going into the All-Star break. They beat Golden State Super Bowl weekend. They had the big win against the Boston Celtics without DeMarcus Cousins. So I'm intrigued to see how the Kings respond tonight. It's suddenly, you know, going to be the Darren Collison show. Collison's going to get to chuck the ball. But, as I stated, they did win last week without Cousins. And this is a huge game because... Sacramento are right behind Denver, so it almost sets the stage here. Sacramento get blown out tonight. It's like, oh, crap. Yeah, that deal was horrible. And, well, this, you know, we're not catching Denver. But they go off tonight. They beat Denver. They're feeling good about themselves in the post-boogie era. And, you know, at least there's a more of a positive vibe in the room right now. You know, Boogie's gone. The shadow's gone. He was a great player, but the shadow's gone. You know, Buddy Hield has a chance to be a scoring sensation in the league. Tyreke Evans has never met a shot that he hasn't liked. What do you make of this in the Kings right now?
I would love to see Sacramento get killed tonight. Because if the Kings just get blown out, the markets are going to crash on that. They've already crashed on that. Look at this point spread.
I know.
All right, my number, and I downgraded the Kings 3 points without DeMarcus Cousins. And I'm like, we can adjust further if need be, but I'm like an initial... initial downgrade is going to be 3 points for me. And my number is Denver -1. You know, and the markets are Denver -7. So, I mean, obviously I'm way off the market in this game, and I think that they are overreacting to what's happened. And it's a situation where, yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces. They're still talking that Aflalo is going to get dealt before the trading deadline. So there may be more movement in Sacramento soon after we get off air. But... They're not. They're hopeless in terms of an organization. They're hopeless in terms of making the postseason. They're not hopeless in terms of being competitive. And it's not like the Nuggets are this great team that deserves to be laying this price on the highway. And Denver's got a bunch of guys who are on the trading block, whether it's Kenneth Faried or Danilo or Gallinari.
Exactly.
Wilson's Chandler name is getting mentioned.
And Teddy, Denver have a ton of guys back, too. So let's say they don't get traded. Everybody's healthy again. Yeah, Denver have been playing pretty good, so they've got rotation issues and to figure stuff out. Farid's back, Chandler's back, Moutier's back, Gallinari's back. You know, so, and they were playing well over the last couple of weeks without these guys. Yeah, these guys are starters, so they've got their little tweaks to work out too.
Absolutely, and although I did see some info that Farid has now been downgraded to doubtful.
Okay,
for tonight's game, for whatever that's worth. But, I mean, some of these reports, you know, we had a report earlier in the day, Chris Paul is definitely playing, and then a report he's definitely not playing. So, you know, you get these reports throughout the course of the day, and you kind of take them with a grain of salt. The markets, however, react very quickly to that type of information.
Yeah, I like the Kings plus the 7 tonight, actually. I'm on board. Let's talk some college ball, Teddy. I'm playing the process of elimination. I'm watching these games and I'm soaking them in. But can you overreact or underreact, Teddy, like to when you see a team struggle right now? Like, we're at the time of the year, they're sort of tweaking. Like, Villanova losing last night doesn't really change my perception of Villanova going into the tournament. But at the same point in time, there are lessons to be learned by watching some of these teams, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, when it comes to late February college hoops and you're trying to get takeaways for, like, oh, you know, how's this team comparing how this team is playing now towards the tail end of the conference season's a nasty grind, you know, and it goes on, and these guys are worn down. They're playing the same teams again and again, and there's a level of familiarity. I haven't found any correlation between how a team's playing down the stretch in February with how they play in March. So I think people can overreact to particularly point spread struggles. You know, a team fails to cover, you know, they're laying 10, they're laying 12, they're not covering double digits. Like, oh, this team stinks. No, not necessarily. They might just be bored, and you get that burst of energy once the calendar turns to March that we'll see a number of these teams have. So I tend not to overreact to losses like the one Villanova suffered. Villanova, to me, still the team to beat when it comes to winning the title, as we saw them capable of doing it last year at this time. And with most of that cast back, I'm not going to sell the Wildcats short.
Gonzaga have worked their way up to the top of the board right now as far as the polls are concerned, but as far as the pre-tournament favorites are concerned as well. You're on the West Coast, so I look forward to your opinion on this. I don't buy into the argument that, oh, they play in the West Coast Conference. Okay, I get it. The West Coast Conference is down. Well, I'll tell you what, man, St. Mary's and how good they are this year, that's flying under the radar because of how good Gonzaga are, actually. But when you look at Gonzaga's wins this year, Teddy, when outside the conference, San Diego State, who I know are down this year, Florida Gators, Iowa State Cyclones, Tennessee, Arizona. So, yeah, whatever. They beat a Mountain West team. They beat a couple SEC teams. They beat a pretty good Big 12 team. And they beat one of the best Pac-12 teams. So Gonzaga has beaten good teams when they played them and have absolutely dominated West Coast Conference basketball teams. I find it interesting, Teddy. I stumbled upon something earlier today when I was looking at this with Gonzaga. Since Indiana ran the table, the last team to go undefeated in 76, five teams have gone into the NCAA tournament undefeated. None of them have obviously been successful in winning the championship, but four of the five, Teddy, have made the Final Four.
And the Zags are a legit Final Four team. I would be surprised if you hear anyone that watches college basketball and knows anything about college basketball saying, no, they're not a Final Four caliber team. They are. Obviously they are. You talked about the non-conference resume. Although, one thing that's key for me, I find when it comes to late February and March, when you start looking back at what a team was capable of doing in November or December, those early season games, I don't care about how good a team was in November or December,
yeah,
or whether they could beat somebody. That's a whole different part of that's months ago. It's so far in the rearview mirror that teams can barely remember what they were able to do. My biggest concern about the Zags, and it's not their fault, but it's nonetheless a product of their success. They haven't played any close games. I mean, they haven't played any close games. You get into the NCAA tournament, you're in a grinder, and it comes down to executing your offense with all the pressure, and you're down one, you know, with 17 seconds left. You got to run one good possession.
Yeah.
We haven't seen the Zags in those type of spots at any point this season. And I think that lack of experience with the high-pressure situations may hurt them in the end, but in terms of potential, absolutely. The Zags aren't 28-0 by accident, you know, and they're not the best. And the fact that they're still the best point spread team in the country.
That's the thing, yeah. That's the thing that's amazing, Teddy. You know, I see that they've won 20 straight games by 10 points or more, which hasn't happened in 25 years. It's like, wow, really? It's pretty crazy. As you mentioned,
who's the last team to do that? Come on, you got to know this one.
I'm going to say the UNLV Running Rebels.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Boom. Boom. You know, it's crazy, actually, last night, Teddy. I was watching San Diego State against Fresno State, and I took an in-game over. That was a bad idea. Freaking San Diego State. Like, these guys, I don't think they could score if they had eight guys on the court. But Actually, Fresno winning last night at San Diego State, they brought it up. First time it's happened since Jerry Tarkanian was the coach. it's a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, first time. It's the first time Fresno's won at San Diego State since then. The thing with Gonzaga, as you mentioned, 28-0, but 19-5-1 against the spread. And I've been reluctant at times, or I'm sort of like, I'm not messing with this. They'll probably cover, but I'm not laying at 24. Last week I did. There were a couple of games left on the board. I did the old, what's left? So I'm like, all right, I guess I'll lay it at 24 against the Dons. But the Dons are pretty good, actually. And it was 22-22, and I'm like, son of a bitch. You know, the one night I hop on Gonzaga, they're struggling. I hit refresh about 22 minutes later, and they're up by 40. and it's 22 tonight. And the Toreros are actually a good spread team. I don't have to tell you this, Teddy. The San Diego Toreros have actually been a good spread team this year. But what happened when they played St. Mary's? They got freaking massacred, 71-27. What happened when they played Gonzaga? They lost 79-43. Gonzaga have slapped them around, and I expect them to do so tonight. I'll lay the 22 on the road.
Yeah, I mean, look, San Diego is... They're weak offensive teams, and they're remarkably weak offensive teams. They scored 27 points in 40 minutes against St. Mary's. And they came back the next game, all right, they were playing Pacific and shot 14 of 43 from the floor. We're talking about a team that's making 9 shots and then 14 shots over a 2-game span of 40 minutes of basketball. Other recent games, they made 18 shots against Loyola. They made 16 in the first meeting against the Zags and 16 against the Dons. They cannot put the biscuit in the basket. They'll slow it down. They'll take Gonzaga out of put Gonzaga in a half-court game. But trading shots, they're not going to do it. And that Zags defense is probably the most underrated facet of that team. But when you have the number one team in the country that is also the number one spread team in the country, in my mind, those are not great bet-on squads. One thing, even riding the Zags, you can put some of those profits back into continuing to ride the Zags. If you're just trying to hop on the train now, you're about 2 months late to the party.
All right, we got to get out of here, Teddy, in about a minute, minute and a half or so. Any other games I didn't bring up catch your eye tonight for betting purposes?
Well, you tell me, man. You're the boss. They all catch my eye. That's what I do.
Yeah, they you know what catches my eye, and it's one that's flying under the radar. They're not all their games are even numbered, but Long Island, LIU on the board tonight, getting +6 against Mount St. Mary's, Teddy. I like Long Island.
And it's funny because that's a team that I couldn't even tell you one player on that squad. I paid no attention to them because they're not, as you mentioned, lined for every game. But, I mean, when we talk about some of the key games in college, what about USC getting all this money against Arizona tonight? That's one that stood out to me where all of a sudden the Trojans, back-to-back bad blowout losses. Oregon beat them up at home and then UCLA just wiped them out last week. The fresher squad... they're in a comfortable position, but I don't know that that's a confident team right now going against the Wildcats. I've been surprised how much money USC has taken.
All right, Teddy. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We'll talk some baseball next week. Maybe we'll talk some more win totals, and I want to get your take on preseason baseball. You bet on preseason at all?
Of course not. There's no the guys who bet preseason baseball are sick individuals. it doesn't do you any good.
Thanks for insulting half our audience.
No, I shouldn't say that because there may well be options for preseason baseball. I haven't found anything in my experience that has worked for predicting preseason baseball final scores before the game takes place.
I know Malinsky told me that years ago, like 25 years ago, he used to actually go to spring training, bet on baseball, have inside information because he was there. Pre-internet days, you know what I mean? Totally change the landscape. But we got to get out of here, Teddy. It's always a pleasure. I always enjoy it. I look forward to next week. Thanks, man.
Cheers.
There's Ted Safransky with us. You want to find him over at sportsmemo.com. He's also one of the covers experts. We take a quick break. Paul Bovey, Vegas Insider, represented today, joins me next. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Thanks to Teddy Covers for joining us on the show. We've got some NFL talk coming up in a couple of minutes, but let's focus in on the National Basketball Association games this evening. I brought this trend up earlier in the week, but I'll bring it up again for those of you that weren't paying attention. about this. Over the last 3 years, okay, last 3 years in the NBA, first game back, first night back after the All-Star game, there have been 90 games in the first night back in the last 3 years. 54 of them have gone over the number. It's amazing. Like, in the first week back, it continues as well. 89, 69, and 2 for a 56% clip. Last year was 33 and 20 to the over in the first week back. So you'd figure, oh, they've been off for a week. They're not going to score. So you know what? I'm going to put this trend to the test tonight, and I'm taking a look at some overs. Let's bring in Paul Bovey, who is he's like the Harlem Globetrotters. He spans the globe like the wide world of sports. Paul Bovey steps up. What's up, Paul?
How you doing, Gabe? So, everything good?
Yeah, like I said, Paul, you know what? We've got guests that join us from Virginia and like Buffalo, and you know, you're always from like Laguna Beach, Vegas, South Beach, and now Indonesia. And you know what, Paul? You know I bet on everything. I actually bet on a little Indonesian basketball. So why don't you take in a Jakarta game tonight?
I'm pretty far from Jakarta. I think I'm at least 3 or 4 hours away. I'm a little bit further south, but it's enjoyable just getting to see the world.
All right, good stuff. All right. So let's jump into some NBA, because I know no matter where you are, you're hardcore. We appreciate it for joining us right now. Wherever you are, I know you're going to be playing some NBA basketball. So we've got the Pelicans playing in their first game after the big deal with Cousins. We just had Teddy on. We briefly talked about it. I was sort of saving it for you. But Teddy thinks the Pelicans, that you know, they could be in a lot of trouble, actually. It's a glamorous trade, but they have no depth. They have no backcourt. Yeah, you've got this Twin Towers, fire and ice, as they're calling it now. But there could be some growing pains here.
I agree with him 100%. There could be some growing pains, and it remains to be seen how these two players are going to mesh. No backcourt, as you say. Holiday, Etuan Moore. Last time they played the Rockets cleaned them up, 122-100, fired off 61 three-pointers, hit 24 of them. They better guard this team from beyond the arc, and that's going to be a problem. So let's see how this works out. Should be interesting. Good theater anyway.
Yeah, you know what, actually, not all sports books have these props, but if there is a prop up and you can get it for total three-point shots made by the Houston Rockets, I would take the over. As you stated, they've got no one now. They've got no one to guard anybody on the perimeter. You know, you got Lou Williams, you got Ariza, you've got Gordon, you've got Harden. It's going to be a three-bomb fest tonight.
I agree. They're going to be lighting it up from beyond the arc, and it should be a high-scoring game. And as you say, the trend has been to the high side, but the numbers certainly have been adjusted upward. There's four games tonight that have a total of 220 or above.
All right. So I mentioned the numbers here, Paul, and it's amazing as far as first game back for teams post-All-Star break. And, you know, in the last 90 games in the 3 years with every team in the league combined, 54 of them have gone over the number, 60%. First week back after the All-Star break, 89, 69, and 2 for a 56% clip to the over. We have some high numbers tonight, but is the number too high, in your opinion, for the Pelicans and the Rockets at 227? And then it leads me into the Knicks and the Cavs at 223, which I think is a fair number in a game that should be a shootout as well.
I think these are priced to perfection. You know, as an NBA capper, I'm looking for value. I just don't see the value there. Although I do think the Rockets will probably put up in the area of probably 125 to 127 points. So if I was going to tip to the high side, it would have to be on that game.
Knicks and Cavs, we'll see what happens. If there's anything that happens with the trade deadline between now and the deadline, less than an hour away. But as it is right now with the teams that are playing right now, you know, the last two times they played, they've been real track meets, Paul. I'm looking at the over here. The Cavs were on a tear before the All-Star break, lighting it up. 8-2 to the over in their last 10 games, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cavaliers just don't play much defense. That's just been, their personality this year. They're one of the worst teams in the NBA, in the Eastern Conference, I should say, defensively. And I'm not sure if they're going to be able to turn it up playoff time. But at this point, they're probably a good team to play to the high side. But the problem is their numbers have been adjusted upward. And again, there's not much value left.
Yeah, I know. I know. You know what? I remember these two teams played, actually, at MSG about a month ago, whatever, a Sunday afternoon game. Paul, you're great at remembering all these games. I think the total was 215. Yeah, you're right. Now we got a 223. Yeah, like no value. I was thinking the same thing. I'm looking at this. I was hoping for a 217, 218 even. I still think it gets there, but there's no value. All right, so let's talk about the Nuggets and the Kings. I tell you what, and as I said, I talked with this with Teddy a little bit, and I'm a big Kings backer. I've been betting the Kings a lot over the last couple of weeks. They were playing good ball going into the All-Star break. I actually think they could have potentially made the playoffs if they would have kept DeMarcus Cousins. They had the big win at Cleveland. They beat Boston without Boogie last week. They beat Golden State. You know, Sacramento had shown flashes in which they could beat anybody in the league on any given night. But the world is sort of, they're the laughing stock right now. People don't like the deal that they made. It is what it is. But I don't see why the Nuggets are laying 7 tonight. And I think there'll be some energy in the building tonight in Sacramento. There's sort of been this cloud with Cousins. Yeah, he was popular, but is he staying? Is he going? Is he happy? Does he want to kill everybody? You know, he's gone right now. You got a bunch of young dudes. There's going to be shots for everybody right now. You know, I'm intrigued by the Kings here tonight.
I don't know that I'd be intrigued by the Kings against a team which is in the 8th seed and which has been playing very good, sound basketball. They've been scoring a lot of points, and I'm just not sure the Kings can keep up with them. So at some point, I think the Nuggets will probably pull away. Kings stay with them early. But at the end of the day, the Nuggets have the better basketball team, and even though they're on the road, I think the Nuggets are going to win this game handily.
Yeah, and one thing that sucks right now is the Nuggets could trade players, too, before 3 o'clock. We don't know. Yeah, so as it is right now, and I don't dispute it, the Nuggets are a good team. You know, they're a game and a half up on Sacramento, actually, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to pull away right now from the Kings. But it's a statement game tonight for the direction of Sacramento. All right, we got the Clippers and the Warriors. There's been a ton of trade rumors as far as the Clippers are concerned. The Blake Griffin was going to get dealt. We've heard that Chris Paul is coming back. Then no, he's not. Now he is. I think Paul is back tonight. I expect him to play, but they play the San Antonio Spurs tomorrow night as well. So how many minutes are we going to get from Chris Paul tonight? You know, this was a competitive rivalry a couple of years ago. I remember when they played on Christmas like 3 years ago. You know, they got into a fight. That both these teams were coming up. Golden State hadn't won yet, and they were both rising powers in the West. And Golden State just, you know, exploded like a rocket and took that next step. And the Clippers have been stuck. If I'm the Clippers, I don't bust it up yet. I go one more run here. But the Warriors have absolutely drilled them this year, Paul.
It just seems like the Warriors own this team. And the only way to beat the Warriors is to make them feast or famine from the arc. In other words, if they shoot poorly from beyond the arc, you're going to win the game or have a shot to compete. And the Clippers just don't seem to be able to do that. In the first game, the Warriors rang up 115 points and only went 7 of 30 from three-point land. So the problem is the Warriors get inside and score, and they also score from beyond. I don't think the Clippers can keep up with this team. They just don't seem to be in the same hemisphere when it comes to the Warriors. The Warriors are just a superior team.
Well, you know what? We just got word, actually, and can confirm that Chris Paul is out tonight. He's been cleared to play, but I guess they're waiting for tomorrow. They're going on a back-to-back. I would have given him a couple of minutes tonight, but whatever it is. It is what it is. But you know what, Paul? I like the over of this game, 230.5. And the fact that Chris Paul isn't playing, actually, I like it more. I was actually disappointed when I heard Paul was going to be back because I'm like, man, Paul will just slow things down. The Clippers are running right now without him.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Gabe. They just cannot slow this Warrior team down. And you pointed out something earlier. These teams have a history. They don't like each other, and I don't think the Warriors are going to be so quick to take their foot off the pedal if they go up on a big lead as they have done in the past this year. So I feel the Warriors are probably going to be good for 130 to 135 points. Should give you an over game here.
We got to get out of here. Paul, get some rest. It's always a pleasure. You're hardcore. We appreciate you joining us from like 5,000 miles away.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Paul Bovey with us. Pretty strong quality, man. I can't even do like a podcast from a hotel room in Vegas. I don't know how this guy's doing Skype from Indonesia. Like, yeah, my earpiece barely works. Like, seriously, baffling. Good stuff, though. All right, what do we got next? We got, Bill Enright joins us. We're talking some NFL football. Always fun talking football. We do it next. All right, we opened up the show talking NFL football, so we'll close the show talking NFL football, although we do have a DraftKings NBA lineup for you. I'm thinking outside the box tonight, guys. A lot of value picks tonight. And we've got 10 selections tonight as far as the NBA, NCAA, and I've got one hockey pick for you. But let's bring in Bill Enright right now, co-founder of footballnation.com. Top three in the 2016 fantasy football rankings at fantasypros.com. I'm a fan of the Fantasy Pros website. He's a Syracuse alum, so I don't want to upset him and bring up last night's buzzer beater too much. But Duke fans across the world last night, you know, have to feel the pain of Syracuse beating Duke. And people that aren't even Syracuse fans, you know, get all excited. Hey, look, Duke lost at the buzzer, and pretty dramatic. But the only thing I wonder about this, Bill, and welcome to the show, Bill, is, you know, the kids rushed the court after. You know, Syracuse, that's a big-time pedigree program. Is beating Duke worthy of rushing the court if you're Syracuse and you have that history?
You know, I'm not sure if rushing the court last night was warranted. First of all, they're at home. And even though they're unranked and Duke was ranked 10th, when you're at home, it's something that bothers me a little bit about rushing on your own home court.
You know, I just thought about it, too, last night. I was like, wow. And even I got caught up in a moment. And I'm like, wow, that was exhilarating. And then I thought the same thing when the kids were running on the court. I was thinking, you know, I remember the days when Syracuse were supposed to win these games. They were only three-point underdogs. I'm sure Boeheim's thinking, well, it's today's era. I don't know, man. It's millennials, right, Bill? I mean, the kids, if they have fun, they have fun. But it struck me as a little odd as well for a team like Syracuse with the pedigree that they have.
Yeah, this wasn't a major upset. They were at home. Like you said, Syracuse, one of the staples in the college basketball community. I never had the opportunity to rush the court. That's because we were always winning games when I was there. So last night, I don't know, maybe I have to have a little bit of some guidelines for rushing the court to my fellow Syracuse alumni.
All right, so let's jump in and talk some football right now. I came across something interesting with Tony Romo's contract, and I guess we're at the time of the year right now where you got to, you know, actually take a look at the cap hits and the salary cap issues that each individual team has. But if the Cowboys hang on to Tony Romo until at least June 1st, they can spread out the cap hit over 2 years. If they let him go on March 9th, then they take the hit this year in one chunk. Now, it seems to me I'd rather separate this into 2 years if I was the Dallas Cowboys, which is something a lot of people are talking about, that they might actually sit on Romo until June 1st.
Yeah, so this is kind of breaking down to two parts, right? What's best for the Cowboys and what's best for Tony Romo? And unfortunately, what's best for Tony Romo doesn't really reflect what's best for the Dallas Cowboys. He would like to get traded to an ideal spot, not the Jets, not the Browns, maybe the Broncos. What's best for the Cowboys, like you said, wait until that June 1st spot, spread the cap hit over 2 years instead of having it all fall down on them in 2017. The other part that's better for Tony Romo is if the Cowboys cut him now and then he can decide where he goes. And that's kind of like, you know, the best of Tony Romo land, where he gets to decide where he goes. He gets to visit, you know, different teams and see the best landing spot for him, where he fits meet the coaching staff, things of that nature. But I don't think that's going to happen. It's either going to happen via a trade and the other team takes on a salary, or I think the Cowboys wait until the June 1st mark, like you said.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I would tell them that, too. I'd say, listen, if we can pull off a trade, we'll pull off a trade. If not, you know, listen, we love you, Tony. You know, Jerry tells us, I love you, bro, but, you know, you got to wait. I'm going to let you go on June 1st. And, you know, we all know there's not supposed to be collusion, but wink, wink, right? We're letting you go June 1st. You and your agent go talk and do what you have to do. You talk a lot about the Patriots. You cover the Pats a lot. You know, and Garoppolo was asked, where are you going to be playing next year? He said, your guess is as good as mine. And it's amazing to me. There's like half a dozen guys, if not more, you know, quarterbacks who legitimately don't know where they're going to be. Tony Romo doesn't know where he's going to be. Tyrod Taylor and the Buffalo Bills are on the clock. They have March 12th. That's their date to decide whether they're on the hook for the contract with Tyrod. The Kirk Cousins stuff, you figure it'll get settled, but it just sort of lingers and continues. And then you got the Garoppolo situation as well. I think the Chicago Bears are a perfect fit for Garoppolo, actually, Bill. How do you see some of this stuff playing out? It's almost like, you know, it's going to have to be the first signing. That first quarterback is going to have to, you know, the first domino has to fall, and then I think the craziness will begin.
It's certainly a lot of hype right now, and I think that's what happens with any kind of approaching deadline. You get it a lot right now with the with the NBA trade deadline. Oh, is Carmelo Anthony getting traded?
Yeah.
And then, you know what, nothing happens, and all the hype just gets quickly thrust under the rug, and we're on to the next series of headlines. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. You mentioned Kirk Cousins. I bet he stays with the Redskins. Tyrod Taylor, is that going to be really a big deal if he's back with the Buffalo Bills or if he goes to a team like the Cleveland Browns? I don't think that's major news. Jimmy Garoppolo is probably, him and Tony Romo are probably the two biggest headlines this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if Garoppolo stays with the Patriots. So it might just end up being, oh, all this hype coming into it, and then Romo is the only guy that we see something happen to, and we might have to wait until June 1st for that to happen anyway.
You know, it's amazing, too. And as you stated, I know, there's often is much ado about nothing and when it's all said and done. But we have the draft coming up as well. And in past years, the draft, there hasn't been a lot of drama. I remember, you know, 3 years ago, whatever it was, the Johnny Manziel watch, etc. But, you know, Winston Mariota, Goff and Wentz. Doesn't mean the teams are always right, but there hasn't been a lot of drama going into the draft as far as the top 10 picks are concerned or the quarterbacks are concerned. But similar situation in which there's a lot of uncertainty with the established vets. I can't recall a draft with so much uncertainty around the top three quarterbacks in Trubisky, Kaiser, and Deshaun Watson, in which you hear varying degrees of opinion about all three guys. But as you know, Bill, it only takes one, right? So one of these guys might go second overall. You know, they might fall to 10th overall. We don't know.
And that's what's really interesting about this year. So, yes, there's debate about who the best quarterback is among the three guys that you mentioned. And then there's the debate, what teams need a quarterback in the top 10? The Browns need a quarterback. They have the number one overall pick, but everyone thinks they're not going to go at that position. Then the Niners, then the Bears, the Jets, the Buffalo Bills. So there's four or five teams inside the top 10 that may need a quarterback, may take a shot on one of these three guys, but we don't know. So there's like double drama this year with the quarterbacks. We don't know who the number one guy is, and we don't know which team is going to pull the trigger.
Yeah, it is. We didn't even get to Jay Cutler. And, you know, it's amazing. I saw a comparison. Jay Cutler's stats next to Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Jay Cutler and Ryan Fitzpatrick are very, very similar. You know, they both blow. I guarantee you, Jay Cutler's got Jets written all over him, Bill. I'm telling you, he's going to be a Jet.
I can certainly see that. Brandon Marshall's there. They have history together. To me, Jay Cutler is one of those guys that I put on my fantasy bust list every single year, and I haven't been wrong yet. So if the Jets are going to sign him this year and their fans can get all excited, I'm down here in the New Jersey, New York City area. Every offseason, the Jets fans, oh, this is going to be the year that we're going to make some noise. This is going to be the year that, you know, we're going to get off the schneid and make the playoffs. Hasn't happened in a while. But if they sign Jay Cutler, I guarantee you, Jets fans, they're going to be all excited. And then when October hits, they're going to realize that they're looking forward to 2018.
We got to get out of here, Bill, but I tell you what, if Tony Romo doesn't end up with Denver or Houston, which are the two best fits, but they got a serious issue with Osweiler there already right now. But if he doesn't end up there, and let's just say Romo has to sort of just take the money and run, you know, the Buffalo Bills, the 49ers, the Browns, etc. You know, let's just say, you know, the whole group. I think Romo will end up in New York. I think he'll just, oh, whatever, it's a big market, I'll go, I'll end up in New York, as opposed to playing in Buffalo or San Francisco or something. But we got to get out of here, Bill. We'll do it again. Thanks for the time, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There's Bill Enright with us. All right, we come back with our NBA lineup of the day and our plays of the day. All right, we're stoked to have the National Basketball Association back. Let's start off with our DraftKings lineup of the day, and this is a first. Etuan Moore is in our lineup this evening. Yeah, I know. But basically, he can give us a point a minute. And it's not exactly as if they've got a stacked backcourt right now in the Bayou. Etuan Moore is going to play 30, 35 minutes, and I expect him to give us 25, at least 25 DK points tonight, and a 35, 100 bucks, 3,600 bucks. I think it's a good play. We're all about the value tonight. Darren Collison. We've taken Collison even when Boogie was on the team, but Collison now becomes the primary scorer for the Sacramento Kings. You know what? We can sort of take last week's game against Boston when Boogie wasn't there, but he went off. 42 DK points, 26 points, and five boards. Nuggets don't play defense. Speaking of the Nuggets, Gallinari is back. Pretty cheap for Gallinari at $5,500. I think it's because he hasn't played in a little while and he's been injured that people aren't paying attention, but he is starting tonight. He is expected to play. He didn't get traded, at least that we know of. So Gallinari, good play, $5,500. Remember last week, Gordon only played one game without Ibaka, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, Gordon, you got to jump on Gordon. I didn't like the matchup because it was against the Spurs. I like the matchup tonight against the Blazers. Cauley Stein moves into the starter role. Kyrie Irving's a stud. Porzingis puts up nice numbers, and since we got all these value picks, we were able to take Kevin Durant, the most consistent scorer on the Golden State Warriors. I think it's a good lineup. All right, let's get to our plays of the day. We're going to go over the number. Listen, guys, the first games back after the post-All-Star break, the last 3 years have gone over the number at a 60% clip. We're going over 227 with the Rockets and the Pelicans. We're going over 223 with the Knicks and the Cavaliers. We're taking the Sacramento Kings plus 7 against the visiting Denver Nuggets. We're going over 220, 220 and a half. The Clippers and the Warriors, the total's 230 and a half points, and it's going to go over. It even helps that Chris Paul isn't playing. College basketball, a little Long Island action. LIU. Give me Long Island plus the 6 against Mount St. Mary's. This game goes over 136 and a half. Gonzaga is going to tattoo San Diego tonight. We're going to lay the 22 points. St. Mary's and Pepperdine goes over 131 and a half. And the Leafs and Rangers under 6. May the winners be yours.